out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, before we get into more ramifications of the mosque massacre in New Zealand, we have a little bit of news here in Britain to do with censorship. James Goddard, who was the spokesman for the British Yellow Vest, you may recall a while back, was charged with public order offences for chanting Subri is a Nazi while she was being interviewed by the BBC outside. After that, he then followed her back to the Houses of Parliament and tried to interview her. Exactly the same as the journalists regularly do. You see them holding out their microphones to the politicians and asking for sound bites as they're walking along. And I guess that's all he assumed he was doing, exactly the same as the journalists. Well, he's been in court today and he's been charged with racially aggravated offences, racially aggravated language. But he was calling Anna Soubry a Nazi. How is that racially aggravated language? He pleaded not guilty to all the charges and said to the judge, it's not illegal to heckle an MP. Apparently, the courtroom was full of his supporters and they all started chanting Subri is a Nazi. And James, sack your lawyer, which... I'm not sure if that's actually going to help his case at all, because that will probably prejudice the judge against him, because the judge will obviously think that his supporters there are something to do with him. So I wouldn't suggest people doing things like that in courtrooms, because it doesn't help the person that's accused of anything. And apparently the court case has been set for 2 days. I think it was in June or July. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Because of the outcome. I mean, all he was doing was calling somebody a Nazi. And of course, as we know, usually it's us that are being called Nazis. But when it's a member of parliament, it suddenly becomes illegal to do that. And as I say, I don't see what he did that had anything whatsoever to do with race. They just seem to have thrown that in there. Perhaps the BBC got it wrong. I mean, that's not, out of the realms of possibility. Anyway, continuing on this theme of people in court for speech crimes, we have a continuation of this attack in Christchurch, where they've been really clamping down on censorship. They've banned Dissenter. Why they would ban Dissenter, I don't know. Dissenter, for those of you who are unaware, is a new app that was created by Gab, which basically allows people to comment on any website in the world. It's basically like Discus, but instead of the owner of the website installing the app and being able to moderate comments, just so long as you're not making comments that are illegal, you can make whatever comments you like, basically. You know, I think it's a wonderful idea. It democratizes the internet once again. There was a time when it was very democratic, the internet. And what you saw would be the most popular. Whereas now what you see on the internet is what Google want you to see, i.e. the mainstream media reports. They don't want you to actually see what is the most popular. And in some cases, they don't even want you to see what the actual search results are. I mean, after this attack, YouTube actually removed the ability to search for anything to do with Christchurch on YouTube. But the centre of all this censorship is in New Zealand, and we do have a very sad case here. A court in New Zealand on Monday refused to grant bail to an 18-year-old teenager accused of sharing a video of the March 15th Christchurch mosque shootings in which the gunman live-streamed his massacre of 50 people. Now, because he's been refused bail, basically that means he's on remand. He's locked up in prison for sharing a video that millions of people have actually seen. Now, you don't know why he was sharing this video. The authorities are obviously thinking that seeing this video is likely to encourage copycat attacks. I don't think that's true. I think most white people, when they see people being harmed, they have sympathy for them. When they see people being shot, they have sympathy for them. They don't think, well, let's go out and do the same. Mental cases might think that. Unbalanced people, and they shouldn't be on the streets anyway, basically. They shouldn't have access to the internet. You can't childproof everything, as it were. You can't have that much of a nanny state. So we don't know the reason why he was actually sharing this video. And as we know from other incidents that have happened, people like to analyze these videos. Take, for instance, Charlottesville, when that obese woman was run over. People analyzed that video, and after analyzing the video, we were able to see that James Field's car was attacked. It was attacked, he had his taillight smashed out, and there were people thumping on his car, which happened before he reversed and drove forwards. I mean, the guy was panicking, he'd just been attacked. We also noticed from the video that there had been signs changed on the roads there so that his sat-nav was directing him to go in the wrong direction. He didn't know what direction he should be going in. And all of this was found by people analysing the video. So there are a lot of people that want to see this video just so that they can analyse it and see exactly what has happened, rather than people wanting to see it as in, oh, this is great propaganda for the far right. It's not great propaganda for the far right at all. It's very bad propaganda for the far right. I mean, people are hardly likely to want to change their views after seeing somebody doing something like this. At the same time, you don't want to be seeing people killed. I mean, who would want to be seeing people killed? It's a snuff video. So there's all sorts of issues that are raised by this. But jailing somebody for it, that's a bit harsh. The teen, don't forget, this is just a teenager, faces two charges, one of sharing the video and a second for posting a photograph of one of the mosques attacked with the message, "target acquired," along with other chat messages inciting extreme violence, the New Zealand Herald reported. But we haven't actually seen what these messages are. Inciting extreme violence, you don't know if the lad was just joking, just being ironic. The teenager appeared at the Christchurch District Court today and was granted name suppression. However, his request for bail was refused by Judge Stephen O'Driscoll. The police have said that the teen was not involved in the shootings at the Al Noor Mosque and the Linwood Avenue Masjid that also left 40 others injured. He is due back in court next month. The teen was initially charged with publishing insulting material with intent to excite hostility or ill will against a group of persons on the basis of race, ethnicity, or national origins. Well, I would suggest that seeing that video is likely to excite hostility against white people. It's not going to incite hostility against Muslims. It's going to incite hostility against white people, which it already has done, as we see from the mainstream media's response to it. Now, that charge was withdrawn on Monday and replaced by the two new charges. And the maximum sentence for each of the new charges is 14 years in prison. 14 years in prison for sharing a video that's been seen by millions of people, that has been seen by lots and lots of people in the media that were actually discussing this video on the news the next day. They were saying they had watched it. But the general public, they're not allowed to watch it. That's, it really says that this is a case of us and them, and that journalists and the mainstream media are now privileged people that are allowed to see things that we aren't. And to make matters worse, while this young lad in New Zealand is locked up in prison, in Turkey, Erdogan is showing the video at his rallies. He's showing the video at his political rallies. Turkey's Islamist president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has been inflaming his supporters by showing footage of the suspected far-right terror attack in Christchurch, New Zealand, at his political rallies, a move which potentially imperils the future and safety of the New Zealand people and our people abroad, according to the Pacific country's foreign minister. So they admit there that showing this video is likely to incite hatred actually against white people, not against Muslims. And yet they are claiming in New Zealand that it has to be banned because it will incite the far right against Muslims. I mean, which is it? Is it going to incite people against Muslims or incite people against whites? Quite clearly, it's going to incite people against white people, which is why Erdogan is showing it at his rallies. Erdogan told supporters that the Christchurch suspect who killed 50 people in mass shootings at two mosques in the city had targeted Turkey and me in his manifesto, sections of which were featured during a montage of the attack, which he showed at a rally in aid of upcoming elections. He's got it on a huge screen there. He is showing this, which really does make a mockery of New Zealand trying to get this film banned and trying to take Facebook and YouTube to court over it. And, you know, they're trying to ban this everywhere. And here's Erdogan just casually showing it at his rallies. I mean, that really is sticking two fingers up at New Zealand, isn't it? Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with this Turkish Muslim that shot and already killed three people yesterday, I believe. A young white girl was one of them. I've seen a picture of her. And they were trying to say that was an honour killing. But it's been released today that there was a note found in his car which shows that it was a terrorist attack. So within 2 days of this far-right attack, we've already had another Islamic terror attack. And as we showed in yesterday's podcast, far-right terrorist attacks make up less than 1% of terrorism worldwide. Of course, the other 99% is carried out by Muslims. And whether we like it or not, this terrorist attack in New Zealand was a retaliation for those terrorist attacks carried out by Muslims. Now, the next article that I've got here is just incredible. It's an example of the mainstream media's hubris, arrogance, and inability to counter any of our arguments. Now, this comes from The Independent, and they've actually put out a big article, and it's titled "How to Defeat the Cretinous Great Replacement Theory at the Heart of the Christchurch Mosque Attack." And it doesn't actually defeat any of the theory, any of the theory at all. I mean, it's just so bizarre. I mean, they actually admit that it's correct, and then they claim that they have defeated it. It's just unbelievable. And I'm not going to read out the whole article, but I'll read out the paragraphs concerned. They say the source of this desperation comes from within, not just the white nationalist movement, but white communities themselves. Yes, because we are being replaced. We are being displaced from our own communities. We're having to move out of our cities. London is 60% non-white. That means that 60% of London have had to flee. They've been ethnically cleansed from their own capital city. So how is The Independent going to counter this? Well, they just don't, basically. They say, we believe that a form of cultural panic has set in among some white communities, preserved through white flight and gentrification and fear of an encroaching minority status. The most extreme version of this panic finds a voice in the white genocide myth. They call it a myth. They just said that there is white flight, there is gentrification, there is fear of an encroaching minority status, and then they call it a myth. And then they say the idea that, starting in South Africa, whites are being forced out of existence, either through acts of violence or through demographic replacement. It's quite true that that is what's happening. That's what we see happening. They admit this as well. They say it is true that in the United States, census projections based upon current trends have whites ceasing to be an absolute majority of the population by 2045. In Britain, Mohammed has become one of the most common baby names, comparable to staples like John or Oliver. But for Brenton Tarrant, the world isn't just changing. His people are losing. I mean, how else can you view that? If white people are going to be a minority in America by 2045, that means that 50% of whites will have been displaced from the country that they built. If Mohammed is already the most popular baby name in Britain, then that means that by the time those kids grow up, they're going to be in the majority. White people will have been pushed out. We are being replaced. The United Nations even calls it replacement migration. That's where the term comes from. It comes from the United Nations. But the Independent, instead of countering this, they don't give any reasons for why this isn't true, of course. They just say, oh, it's a myth. After telling us that, yes, it is true, the US Census says that it is true, they then call it a myth. And then they say, instead of opening up to the conditions and possibilities of the modern world, Tarrant and others who espouse his vicious and deadly ideology seek to retrench their own invented identity. So, I don't know what possibilities there are when you are being replaced. What possibilities, what conditions are we supposed to open up to? Are we supposed to open up to the fact that we're all going to turn brown if we're forced to live alongside these brown people? That the eventual result of that is the same result as happened to all the white empires of the ancient world. The same that happened to Babylon, the same that happened to Assyria, the same that happened to Egypt, the same that happened to Aryan India. Every single one of them was miscegenated out of existence. And what are the wonderful possibilities of race mixing? There are no wonderful possibilities. It means the extinction of the white race. That's what it means. They don't actually point out any of these wonderful possibilities that becoming a minority in your own country brings, or by your race becoming extinct. I mean, they don't actually lay out any of these wonderful conditions or possibilities. They just say that instead of opening up to it, Tarrant and others who espouse his vicious and deadly ideology instead retrench their own invented identity. So what do they mean by that? Are they saying that being European is an invented identity? Are they saying that being British is an invented identity? It's not an invented identity. There's cultural reasons for it, historical reasons for it. We started out as tribes, and as the tribes become bigger, they become nations. And they share a language, they share blood, they share familial lines, they share traditions, and they share a wider culture with other white nations, and that is the white race. That is not an invented identity. Invented identities are things like we are all one together, we are all the human race. That's an invented identity. Claiming that citizenship is just what you have on a piece of paper and the nation is just built on shared values, that's an invented identity. That's an invented identity that's just come about in the last 50 years, that a nation is a group of people that share the same values. I mean, the very word nation itself comes from the word natal, which means birth. It means people that share the same birth mother. People that share the same ancestors, the same bloodlines, that's what nation means. A nation means a shared ethnicity. This isn't invented. the invention is this modern idea. So this article doesn't actually counter the great replacement theory at all. It confirms the great replacement theory that whites are being replaced, and then just says, but we should be happy about it for some reason. They continue by saying the white nationalist and nativist movements scorching the West right now, scorching the West. 99% of all terrorist attacks are carried out by Muslims. I don't see any white people carrying out huge massacres and blowing themselves up and blowing places up like we see the Islamists doing. So I don't think that's correct to say that white nationalism is scorching the West right now. They say these movements have fostered a desperate situation in the minds of their followers, who see violence as the only logical conclusion, not just because they have lost the capacity to reason, but because they loathe reason on principle. Hang on a minute. Where is the independence reasoning for not thinking that it's a serious situation that we're going to become minorities in our own countries? Where is their reasoning? And no, it's white nationalists that are concerned because they've used their capacity to reason, and they can look and see what's happening to white people in South Africa and see what happens when whites become a minority and blacks become the majority. White nationalists look back in history and we look at what happened to all the previous empires, and we see that multiculturalism destroyed them, that miscegenation destroyed them. And then whites look and see that we've gone from about 30% of the world's population to only 8% of the world's population. And then white nationalists look at the fact that miscegenation can never be repaired. Once somebody has interbred with somebody who is not white, that's it. None of their descendants ever again will be white. And white nationalists realize that we are facing an existential problem here. The white race could conceivably cease to exist if something isn't done about this. And this is all based upon reason, and none of this is countered by this article. Apparently, we're just not opening up to the conditions and possibilities of the modern world. Crazy. They've got no answer, and yet they say that we're the ones that have lost the capacity to reason. I would say that they're the ones that have lost the capacity to reason. They've been hit by a strong delusion. It says in the Bible that if you have if you don't have a sufficient love for the truth, you will be hit with a strong delusion. And the mainstream media are delusional if they think we should be celebrating becoming a minority in our own countries. And white nationalists don't see violence as the only logical conclusion. We see violence as the wrong way to solve this. We don't think that is the right way to solve this. We seek to avert violence. We want to prevent a violent, bloody end, as is happening in South Africa right now. I mean, just look at the violence, the incredible violence that is happening in the multicultural centres of the world. Just look, take London, for example. Stabbings every single day, murders pretty much every day, rape gangs all around the major cities of Britain. All of this has come about through diversity. This attack in New Zealand, that attack that Tarrant carried out, that attack would never have taken place if it wasn't for the immigration policies of the white nations. If New Zealand hadn't had an immigration policy that invited in non-whites, that attack wouldn't have happened, because there would have been no non-whites there for him to do that to. When you have homogenous nations, when you have white nations, I mean, white people are very interested in these other tribes. Just look at the whole discipline of anthropology. It was white people going over to non-white countries and not interfering and just observing the people there, because we were interested in them. We're generous people. You know, we want to help other people. But when you bring them into our countries and they have totally different culture, totally different ways of doing things, completely different IQ, and if interbreeding with them means extinction of that bloodline, then obviously it's not a good thing to have them in our countries, is it? And if you have two different peoples within one territory competing for the resources, because there are limited resources on Earth, competing for these resources, you're going to have war, eventual war between them. And white nationalists are trying to avoid that. The majority of us are. Some of us who possibly really aren't that good at actually reasoning try to encourage something like that happening now, which is a crazy idea, which is what this tyrant was doing, I think, trying to accelerate things. We wish to avoid a violent, bloody end. I mean, if we could just get somebody in power, they could offer incentives to these people to move back to their own countries. And I think that would get rid of most of them. And the violent criminals, they could be deported. Rather than given room and board in our prisons, they could be deported and sent back to their own countries. And that would leave very, very few of them left here. And perhaps the ones that were left here could be segregated into their own area. Or perhaps they could accept voluntary sterilization if they wished to still live among us. Because something would have to be done to prevent any more miscegenation, any more destruction of what God and nature has created. I mean, the white nations and the black nations and the Chinese nations, we are all separate for a reason. We were created separately. That's what I believe. Whether you believe in nature or God, nature has separated us for a reason. You don't see humpback whales getting it on with blue whales. You don't see black bears getting it on with polar bears. I mean, they are separate types of subspecies. And European man is a separate subspecies to Negroid man. And mixing the two together is just the destruction. It's the destruction of diversity. None of this is counted in this article. It's just ad hominem. It's just calling white nationalists idiots, saying, oh, they've lost the capacity to reason. And anyone that does have a capacity to reason will read this article and just think, well, where have they defeated the Great Replacement Theory? They haven't. They say to oppose this movement of fear and shame. Fear and shame? It's us that wish to instill a sense of pride in our people. We're not the ones that are trying to instill a sense of fear and shame into white people. We're not the ones laying guilt trips onto whites and saying that they're responsible for slavery. We're the ones saying, well, hang on a minute, it's white people that did away with slavery. If anything, blacks should be eternally grateful to us for doing that, not asking for reparations when they were bought fair and square from other Africans. If they want reparations, they should be going to Africa and asking for them. It was their African ancestors that sold them to us, and what did we do with them once we had them? We liberated them. We set them free. So if anything, they should be grateful to us for that. So we're not the ones that are encouraging fear and shame. We are encouraging pride, to take pride in your actions and to know that your ancestors were glorious people and you need to live up to those standards. That's what we teach. We don't teach fear and shame. They say we must build an internationalist movement of liberation with equality at its heart. The only response to the hallucinatory realm of white rage is a return to reality. What this article shows, that the only people hallucinating here are the independent, that think that somehow it's a wonderful opportunity becoming a minority in your own country. It's a wonderful opportunity for whites. And whites should be opening up to the conditions and possibilities of that. The conditions and possibilities of that are the extinction of the white race. That's the only thing that can come from that. They say we must work hard to break through the isolation that leads people to believe that disharmony and ethnic violence will actually bring about a better world. It's not us that are encouraging disharmony and ethnic violence, is it? We're not the ones responsible for the immigration policy that promotes diversity, which is division, basically, which is disharmony. You can hardly say it's harmonious to see white faces and black faces together. That's disharmony. That's division. It's not us promoting that, is it? And it's not us promoting ethnic violence. We're not the ones responsible for the ethnic violence. White nationalists aren't the ones responsible for Negroes stabbing one another and killing one another in London. Before we had any immigration to this country, we didn't have any stabbings in London. We were known as one of the most peaceful countries in the world until we changed the immigration policies and started allowing in the third world over the last 70 years. It's not us that are leading people into thinking that that's going to bring about a better world. It's our governments that are saying that diversity and the ethnic violence that it brings is going to bring about a better world. We say that if you want to have a better world, you need to keep the peoples separate. You need to segregate peoples one from another. And then they will be happy. I mean, even the way our bodies work tell us that. We have a substance called oxytocin, which makes us feel good. And we our bodies produce this oxytocin when we are around people of our own kind. It's the same substance that the body produces to bond the mother with the child. When the child is suckling on the mother's milk, oxytocin is released. And this substance gets produced in our bodies when we are around our own people. When we're not around our own people, this substance doesn't get produced and we don't have a common bond with these other people that are around us. So we try to compensate for it. We pretend that there is a common bond, but there isn't one. This is why when you have mixed schools, you will see the white kids sitting with the white kids and the black kids sitting with the black kids. This is why when you have white churches and black churches in America, when you're in prisons, whites will be separate to blacks, because that's just naturally what we do. And it's naturally what we do because it's nature to preserve your own kind. It's the prime directive among all species on Earth is to preserve their own kind. And the way to preserve your own kind is to keep separate from other kinds. And as the guardians of this world, that's what we should be doing. We should be encouraging peoples to stay separate and to grow at their own rates. Because doing the opposite is just, that's what causes all the violence and the disharmony and the depression and all the terrible things that are going on today. They're all directly, they can all directly be traced back to diversity. And of course, this terrible action in New Zealand, that's just going to make things worse. That's not going to help things at all. That's just going to make things worse. But what we do need, we need to have a conversation about this, and we need sensible journalists that are going to discuss this and not come out with nonsense like this article that points out the reasons why people are concerned and then just says, well, they should be looking forward to it. And doesn't actually say why we should be looking forward to being a minority in our own lands or why we should be looking forward to our race being extinct. They don't answer that at all. They just come out with a load of insults and projections, projecting the isolation and the belief in disharmony and violence onto us. They're the ones that have engineered the isolation that white people feel. Anyway, at least here at Radio Aryan, we help to break through that isolation and we help to bring people together and we stop people from engaging in violence and we say that there is another way. We're the ones that are countering the negative effects that are happening to whites. And we hope that our listeners, their lives are improved by listening to us. That's our goal here, to improve people's outcomes and improve white people's lives. Anyway, we've gone a little bit over time here, so I'll say thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan. Radio Aryan.